Before you hit that snooze button on life again, ask yourself this. How many more excuses are you willing to let define you? I used to be the king of "I'll do it tomorrow," until I realized that tomorrow is just a lie we tell ourselves to feel better about being lazy today. Procrastination isn't just a bad habit, it's a slow death of your dreams, and I've lived through that. There was a time when I watched opportunities slip through my fingers because I chose comfort over action. I convinced myself that I worked better under pressure, that I needed to feel the heat of a deadline before I could truly shine. But the truth? I was just scared. Scared of failing, scared of succeeding, scared of facing the fact that I was wasting my own potential. If you're tired of living in the shadow of your own capabilities, tired of letting distractions and excuses dictate your life, stick around. I'm about to share lessons that snapped me out of the procrastination trap and into a life of purpose and action. These aren't the usual tips you've heard before. They're controversial, they're uncomfortable, but they're exactly what you need to hear if you're ready to stop procrastinating and start living the life you've been putting off. Tip number one, break tasks into smaller pieces. You've heard it before. Break it down into smaller tasks. But let's be real. Most of us ignore this advice because it sounds too simple to be effective. I used to think the same until I found myself drowning in overwhelm, staring at a mountain of unfinished projects, paralyzed by the sheer size of what I had to accomplish. The truth is, we avoid this approach because we secretly enjoy the drama of having too much to do. It gives us an excuse to procrastinate and then play the victim when deadlines start closing in. But here's the controversial part. Breaking tasks into bite-sized pieces isn't just about managing workload, it's about stripping away the excuses. I used to resist breaking tasks down because I knew it would leave me with no reason to delay. I liked having the safety net of overwhelm to fall back on, so I could justify my lack of progress. Then one day, I hit a wall. A project that I'd been putting off for weeks was now due, and I had no choice but to break it down or face the consequences. I split it into tiny, manageable chunks, and something unexpected happened. I started getting things done, fast. The sense of accomplishment from ticking off even the smallest task was addictive. Each completed step built momentum, and before I knew it, the mountain I had been avoiding was just a series of small hills behind me. The real kicker. Once you break down a task and start moving, you realize that the overwhelm was just a mental construct, a way to keep you stuck. By avoiding this strategy, you're choosing to stay in the discomfort of procrastination rather than stepping into the discomfort of progress. And let me tell you, the latter is far more rewarding. So, stop romanticizing the chaos of having too much to do. Break it down, bite by bite, and take control of your productivity. You'll be amazed at what you can accomplish when you stop letting the size of a task intimidate you. Tip number two, set deadlines for everything. Deadlines, they're the necessary evil that most of us love to hate. We convince ourselves that deadlines are stifling, that they kill creativity, and that we're better off without them. I used to believe that too. I thought I was being noble by refusing to put a time limit on my work, as if creativity and productivity would flow freely if I just gave them enough space. But here's the controversial truth. Without deadlines, you're just floating aimlessly, deceiving yourself with the illusion of freedom. I used to pride myself on being a free spirit, refusing to chain my tasks to a calendar. I thought, why put pressure on myself? Creativity needs to breathe. But the reality? I wasn't free. I was lost. Projects dragged on for weeks, sometimes months, because there was always tomorrow to finish them. Tomorrow, of course, became next week, next month, and then never. Without deadlines, I was sabotaging my own success, hiding behind the excuse of waiting for the right moment to get things done. Then came the day I missed out on a huge opportunity. I'd been working on a project that could have been a game changer for me, but I kept pushing the deadline, convinced I'd have more time. When the opportunity passed, I was left with nothing but regret. That's when it hit me. Deadlines aren't there to restrict us. They're there to protect us from our worst instincts. Without them, we're just letting our dreams drift further out of reach. The turning point came when I started setting deadlines for everything. Yes, everything. Not just the big projects, but even the small, seemingly insignificant tasks. The change was immediate and profound. Suddenly, my to-do list wasn't a vague collection of wishes and hopes. It was a series of actionable steps with clear endpoints. The ticking clock became a motivator, not a source of stress. I wasn't just working, I was finishing, and that made all the difference. There's something powerful about setting a deadline. It's like drawing a line in the sand, declaring that by this point, this task will be done. It forces you to prioritize, to make decisions, and to commit. I found myself becoming more disciplined, more focused, and strangely, more creative. With a deadline in place, I had to find ways to be efficient, to cut through the noise, and to produce my best work in the time I had. And guess what? My creativity didn't suffer, it thrived. The pressure of a deadline pushed me to think outside the box, to innovate, and to deliver. The deeper message here: deadlines aren't about pressure, they're about purpose. They force you to make decisions, to commit, and to move forward. In life, nothing is guaranteed except the passage of time. If you don't set your own deadlines, life will set them for you, and trust me, they'll be far less forgiving. Setting a deadline is an act of self-respect. It's telling yourself that your time and goals are important enough to be finished, to be realized. It's about valuing your own word and holding yourself accountable. When you set a deadline, you're not just managing your time, you're reclaiming control of your life. You're refusing to let procrastination steal your potential. You're deciding that you're the kind of person who finishes what they start, who values their time and their goals enough to see them through to the end. And let's not forget, deadlines also teach you resilience. Sometimes you won't meet them. Sometimes life will throw curveballs that derail your plans. But even then, deadlines give you a framework to regroup, to adjust, and to keep moving forward. They teach you that progress isn't about perfection, it's about persistence. So stop fearing deadlines, embrace them, set them for everything, and watch as the quality of your work and your life transforms. Deadlines are your allies in the battle against procrastination, guiding you toward a life where your actions align with your ambitions. Make them your norm, and you'll find yourself achieving more than you ever thought possible. Tip number 3. Create a reward system. We've all heard the advice to treat yourself, but how often do you actually apply it to your productivity? The idea of creating a reward system might sound childish or even manipulative at first, like you're bribing yourself to get things done. I used to think the same. I thought I should be able to push through my to-do list purely out of discipline or the desire to succeed. But here's the controversial truth. Discipline alone isn't always enough, and sometimes a little incentive can make all the difference between getting things done and getting stuck in a cycle of procrastination. When I first started incorporating rewards into my workflow, it felt strange. I'd set a small goal, finish writing a report or make it through an intense workout, and then promise myself a reward, like watching an episode of my favorite show or indulging in a snack I'd been craving. At first, I was skeptical. Would a simple reward really motivate me? But as I began to integrate this system into my routine, I noticed a shift. Tasks that had previously felt like burdens became challenges, and I was more eager to tackle them because I knew there was a tangible reward waiting for me at the end. But let's dive deeper into why this works. Our brains are wired to seek pleasure and avoid pain. When you create a reward system, you're essentially hacking your brain's natural tendencies, using its desire for pleasure to your advantage. The anticipation of a reward triggers the release of dopamine, a neurotransmitter associated with motivation and pleasure. This chemical boost doesn't just make you feel good, it actually helps you focus and stay on track. Now here's where it gets controversial. We're often taught that hard work should be its own reward, that we shouldn't need external motivators to push us through. But here's the thing. Life isn't always a Rocky movie montage where sheer willpower gets you through. Sometimes you need to trick your brain into cooperating, especially when you're tackling tasks you don't particularly enjoy. And that's okay. It's not about being weak, it's about being smart. Creating a reward system is also about teaching yourself the value of delayed gratification. When you know there's a reward at the end of the tunnel, you're more likely to push through the difficult or boring parts of a task. Over time, this practice builds resilience and helps you develop a stronger work ethic. You start associating hard work with positive outcomes, which can transform your entire approach to productivity. In my own life, I've found that rewards don't always have to be grand or expensive. Sometimes it's as simple as taking a 10-minute break to stretch, grabbing a coffee from my favorite cafe, or even just giving myself permission to stop working for the day. The key is to make sure the reward is something that genuinely excites you, something that feels like a treat, no matter how small. And here's the deeper message. Creating a reward system is a way of practicing self-care. It's about acknowledging that you deserve to enjoy the fruits of your labor, no matter how small the victory. It's about breaking the toxic cycle of endless work without recognition, which can lead to burnout and resentment. By rewarding yourself, you're not just motivating action, you're cultivating a healthier relationship with your work and your achievements. But be warned, this isn't a free pass to slack off or to reward yourself for every tiny task. The key to a successful reward system is balance. The reward should match the effort. You wouldn't treat yourself to a vacation for answering a few emails, just like you wouldn't skip a reward for finishing a major project. It's about finding that sweet spot where the reward feels earned and meaningful. Tip number 4. Set clear goals. We all talk about the importance of setting goals, but let's be honest, most of us don't do it effectively. We scribble down vague intentions like get fit, be more productive, or save money, and then wonder why we're stuck in the same place a year later. Here's the controversial truth. Without clear, specific goals, you're just setting yourself up for failure. A goal without clarity is like a destination without a map. You might know where you want to go, but you have no idea how to get there. Or worse, you might never even start the journey. I used to be guilty of this. I'd set these grand, ambitious goals with the best intentions, thinking that as long as I had a general idea of what I wanted, I'd eventually figure it out. But time and time again, I found myself falling short, feeling frustrated and demotivated. It wasn't until I started setting clear, detailed goals that things began to change. I'm talking about goals with specific outcomes, timelines, and actionable steps, goals that left no room for ambiguity. When I first made the shift, I decided to start small. Instead of saying, "I want to get fit," I set a clear goal. I will work out for 30 minutes, 5 days a week, for the next 3 months. I outlined exactly what kind of exercise I would do, when I would do it, and how I would track my progress. And guess what? It worked. Suddenly, I wasn't just hoping to get fit. I was actually doing it and seeing results. The specificity of the goal gave me direction, and the timeline gave me urgency. Setting clear goals also forced me to confront my own excuses. When your goals are vague, it's easy to let yourself off the hook. You can always say, "I'm working on it," without really doing anything. But when your goal is clear and specific, there's no wiggle room. You either did it or you didn't. And that kind of accountability can be uncomfortable, but it's also incredibly powerful. It forces you to take ownership of your actions and your progress. Here's the deeper truth. Clear goals are about more than just achieving specific outcomes. They're about clarity of purpose. When you set a clear goal, you're telling yourself and the world that you know what you want, and you're willing to do what it takes to get it. It's a statement of intent, a declaration that you're not just drifting through life, but actively shaping your future. This clarity of purpose fuels your motivation and gives you a sense of direction that's hard to shake. But here's where it gets controversial. Most people avoid setting clear goals because they're afraid of commitment. There's a certain comfort in keeping your goals vague, in maintaining the illusion that you could achieve greatness if only you had the time, the resources, or the right circumstances. Vague goals let you live in the fantasy of potential without ever having to face the reality of hard work and possible failure. But that's just a trap, a way to avoid the discomfort of real progress. Clear goals, on the other hand, require you to commit. They demand that you put your stake in the ground and say, "This is what I'm going to do, and here's how I'm going to do it." And that commitment can be scary because it means you're accountable. It means you can't hide behind excuses or blame external factors when things don't go as planned. But it's also liberating because it gives you the power to take control of your life. In my own experience, setting clear goals has been a game changer. It's not just about the big goals either. Whether it's planning my day, mapping out a project, or even deciding what I want out of a relationship, clarity has made all the difference. It's given me focus, reduced my anxiety, and helped me achieve more in less time. But setting clear goals isn't just a one-time thing. It's an ongoing process. Your goals need to be revisited, refined, and sometimes completely overhauled as you grow and as circumstances change. It's about being flexible enough to adapt, but focused enough to stay on track. And most importantly, it's about being honest with yourself about what you really want and what you're willing to do to get it. So, don't be afraid to get specific. Set clear, detailed goals that leave no room for doubt. Outline exactly what you want, why you want it, and how you're going to achieve it. Break it down into actionable steps and set a timeline to hold yourself accountable. By doing this, you're not just setting goals, you're creating a blueprint for success. You're turning dreams into realities, one clear, focused goal at a time. Tip number 5, find an accountability partner. If you think you can do it all on your own, think again. The idea of being a lone wolf, tackling your goals solo, sounds romantic in theory, but in practice, it's a recipe for procrastination and stagnation. Here's a controversial truth. Independence is overrated. If you really want to achieve your goals, you need an accountability partner. Someone who's going to hold your feet to the fire and make sure you're doing what you said you would. I used to believe that I didn't need anyone else's help to stay on track. I thought that relying on someone else for motivation or accountability was a sign of weakness. But the reality is that going it alone often leads to a lot of excuses and very little progress. It's easy to convince yourself that skipping one workout, pushing back a deadline, or letting a goal slide isn't a big deal when no one else knows about it. But when you have an accountability partner, that dynamic changes completely. The first time I tried having an accountability partner, it was for a fitness goal. We made a pact to check in with each other every day, sharing our progress and pushing each other to stay on track. What I noticed immediately was how much more committed I became. There was no way I was going to let my partner down by not showing up, and that external pressure made all the difference. Suddenly, I wasn't just accountable to myself, I was accountable to someone else who genuinely cared about my success. But here's the thing, finding the right accountability partner isn't just about picking someone who's available. You need to choose someone who's going to be honest with you, someone who's not afraid to call you out when you're slacking off, and who's just as invested in your success as you are. This isn't about having a cheerleader who only offers praise. It's about finding someone who will push you to be better, even when it's uncomfortable. This is where it gets controversial. We often avoid accountability partners because we don't want to face the truth about our own behavior. It's much easier to live in denial, to convince ourselves that we're doing our best when we're really just coasting. An accountability partner strips away that illusion. They see through the excuses, the justifications, and the half-hearted efforts. And that can be incredibly uncomfortable, but it's also exactly what you need if you're serious about achieving your goals. When you're accountable to someone else, you're less likely to procrastinate. Why? Because procrastination thrives in isolation. When you're the only one who knows about your goals, it's easy to push things off, to tell yourself that you'll do it later. But when someone else is checking in on your progress, it creates a sense of urgency. You don't want to disappoint them, and more importantly, you don't want to disappoint yourself in front of them. But let's go even deeper. Finding an accountability partner isn't just about getting things done. It's about building a support system. It's about surrounding yourself with people who believe in your potential, who challenge you to grow, and who celebrate your victories with you. This isn't just about achieving goals. It's about creating a network of support that can help you through the tough times and keep you motivated when the going gets tough. In my own life, I've found that the best accountability partners are those who share similar goals or values. When you're both working towards something meaningful, there's a natural synergy that pushes both of you to succeed. It becomes a two-way street, where you're not just receiving support, but also giving it. This mutual accountability creates a bond that's deeper than just checking in on each other. It's about being invested in each other's success. And here's a pro tip. Your accountability partner doesn't have to be someone you see every day. Thanks to technology, they can be anywhere in the world. You can connect via text, video calls, or even social media. The key is consistency. Regular check-ins, whether daily, weekly, or monthly, keep the momentum going and ensure that you're both staying on track. The deeper message here is that asking for help, leaning on others, and admitting that you can't do it all on your own is not a weakness. It's a strength. It's a recognition that we are social creatures, wired for connection, and that we thrive when we support each other. By finding an accountability partner, you're not just improving your chances of success, you're also enriching your life with deeper relationships, shared goals, and a sense of community. So, if you're serious about achieving your goals, stop trying to go it alone. Find someone who will hold you accountable, push you to be better, and support you along the way. In doing so, you'll not only accomplish more, but you'll also grow stronger, more resilient, and more connected to the people who matter most. So there you have it, 6 powerful strategies to conquer procrastination and take control of your life. But let's cut to the chase. This isn't just about getting more done. It's about choosing how you want to live. Procrastination isn't just a bad habit, it's self-sabotage. It's the excuse that delays your dreams, your goals, and your potential. You can keep putting things off, letting fear and doubt dictate your actions. Or you can make the choice to fight back. Start today, not tomorrow. Use these strategies, take small steps, and let the momentum build. It won't be easy, but every step forward is a victory. Remember, you're not alone in this. Whether it's an accountability partner, leveraging technology, or setting clear goals, there are tools to help you. The key is to start now, not when things feel perfect, because that day may never come. This is about more than productivity. It's about living a life without regrets, knowing you gave it your all. Your future self is counting on you, so don't let procrastination rob you of the life you deserve. Take action, take control, and start building the future you've always dreamed of. The only thing standing between you and your goals is the decision to start.